What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Bridging the Geekdoms. I am your host, Robert Slavinsky, and today we're going to be talking about The Flash. Whether it's The Flash on television on CW, whether it's Ezra Miller's Flash and the movies, or even if it's just The Flash in the comics, that's what we're going to be discussing today. So hopefully you can join us in the discussion. When I say us, I do have a guest with me. This is the first time that I've really gotten to talk with him. He tried to be on the show a couple weeks ago, and just the connections weren't working between the systems. So I'm bringing him on now. Everybody, welcome, Michael.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So you are a writer at The Culture Nerd, correct?
Yep.
It's pretty awesome.
Going on 5 months, I believe.
For 5 months now?
Yeah.
Nice. I tell you what, I've had Marcus on, I've had Sean on, I've had TJ on, I've had a bunch of people from there on.
Yeah, great editors. They've definitely helped me out.
Exactly. What you guys do over there is fantastic. I really enjoy it. I love it. It's a site that I peruse every single day to take a look and see what's going on over there. So I love what you guys are doing over there.
Thank you.
But, you know, obviously I have my own sites, or, you know, spoilerverse.com. So also check that out. Check out The Culture.
Yeah, sure.
Check out Spoilerverse. So I don't know if we're going to get too many viewers today. My viewership has picked up a little bit in regards to YouTube, but it's still relatively new for me. I only have about 15 videos out. So I'm starting to get, there's a couple people watching now. Hi, people. All right.
Hi.
So let's move forward here. So we're going to talk about The Flash. I'm guessing you're a huge Flash fan. Is that?
Oh, I love The Flash. I even got the Reverse Flash on my finger.
Oh, that's awesome.
That too. I love
it. So the Reverse Flash. So do you like Flash or Reverse Flash more? Which one is it?
Oh, that's, I think we'd have to pick which one, but I'll probably go Reverse Flash a little bit more.
Okay.
I love everything. Eobard Thawne's probably my favorite, I'd have to say.
Gotcha. I'm going to be honest. Growing up, I was always a Batman fan. I mean, Batman is what broke me into the comic book superhero genre. 1989, mm-hmm. Batman was the first movie I ever saw in theaters. I sat on my dad's lap eating cookies, watching reruns of 1966 Batman. I mean, it was just ingrained in me for Batman. I really wasn't introduced to The Flash until the late 90s, early 2000s with the Justice League cartoon that was in the same vein as Batman the Animated Series and everything. That's what introduced me to The Flash.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Barry Allen. It was Wally West.
Yeah, it was Wally Flash.
Exactly. It's funny because I really enjoyed that take of the Flash. I enjoyed Michael Rosenbaum did the voice of Wally West in the Justice League cartoon. Fantastic choice. He did an amazing job. But to me, Wally West became the Flash. I was like, okay, Wally West is the Flash. So I want to say it was a few years later. I was working at some media store. It's called The Exchange. I'm working, and I had a customer come in, and I was wearing a Justice League t-shirt. They're like, oh, did you hear that they're looking at, you know, making a Justice League movie at some point? I was like, no way. That's awesome. And she was like, yeah, I just wish they would make a Flash movie. I'm like, yeah, I love the Flash. Flash from the, you know, I start talking about Wally West. And she's like, no, Barry Allen. Like, who's Barry Allen? What are you talking about? Like, who's he? Like, what are you? Yeah. And then I kind of started my dive into the Flash because my world was always built around Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. I never kind of went away from there. I was also big into the Marvel Universe with Spider-Man and the X-Men. So, like, when it came to different characters, even Green Lantern, I could not sit here and talk very long about Green Lantern. I love Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I'll catch things here and there. I've read some of the comics, but my knowledge on all of the Green Lanterns is not that extensive. It's good enough to get through a conversation. I understand what people are talking about, but I couldn't sit there and really get through. And that's how it was for The Flash. So once what really kind of opened the door for me was I actually found, because I was working at that media store, they had the old 1992 Flash
yep.
With John Wesley Shipp. And I started watching that, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I mean, it's dated, it's the 90s, but okay, now I'm understanding. So
yeah,
you know, my relationship with Flash probably isn't as extensive as yours, but tell me, like, where did your love for the Flash come from?
I have to give a lot of credit to Grant Gustin's Flash, because I knew a lot about the Flash from like the Justice League show, and Wally was always my Flash, and but I didn't really know anything other than the cartoon. And then once Arrow started, and then my friend was like, hey, they're bringing the Flash into the mix, and I was like, oh, Wally? He's like, no, Barry. And I was like, I don't know who Barry is. And then, you know, the Flash show started, and it was from there. I love the Flash since I watched Grant's performance in season one, and I got into the comics, and it was over after that. I started going back and reading Wally's run from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Then some of Jay Garrick's run, actually. I have some of his comics in one of these boxes, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I tell you what, I mean, I won't lie. The show on CW really took off for me. Like, that was, mm-hmm. like, I was already, you know, years prior, I was already looking in there, you know, discovering who the Flash was, watching things, reading comics here and there. The CW show, and that was kind of the beauty behind what Greg Berlanti and CW did, mm-hmm. is they brought these characters, Arrow, The Flash, as well as a few others, that while they're very well-known characters, they brought them into the light where they got to shine like they never had before. And while I'll sit there today and say, you know what, CW shows really aren't for me anymore. It's hard for me to watch them anymore. I respect what they've done with them 100%. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, no, definitely.
I definitely enjoy what they were able to do. And yeah, I mean, Grant Gustin's interpretation of Barry Allen, the Flash, I was a little worried at first. I didn't know, because I was like, the kid from Glee? Really? Yeah. Like, come on. But
you're giving him his own show.
Yeah, I was like, I hope we don't see Flash walking around singing and dancing all the time. Meanwhile, we got a couple episodes like that.
We got a musical episode.
Which was a good episode. I loved it. It was a great episode. But yeah, I really enjoy that. Now, I know you want to talk about the current, or not the current, but the I guess kind of current run of the comics within the Rebirth series,
yeah,
as well. As we're talking before the show started, I lost my way after about 10 or 15 issues of Rebirth, only because I dove in too heavily, tried to take on all of the different Rebirth comic lines that were coming out, and I just lost my way. I went towards Batman after a while, then I kind of lost my way with that. And honestly, anymore, I just kind of pick them up from time to time when I can. My buddy, he's got all of the run, or at least most of it, since Rebirth started. And he just keeps telling me, the Flash, that is, he keeps telling me, you have to read it. Like, the Godspeed stuff was amazing, but it gets so much better. And I'm like, because that's pretty much what I read. I read mostly, I think I finished, I don't know if I finished the Godspeed story arc or not. I can't remember. It's been a few years. But, you know, I read the Godspeed story arc. I was like, that was pretty cool. That was different. I like that. He's like, oh, it gets better. It gets better. So
it really does.
So what is it? Sell me on jumping back into that comic line.
Oh, wow. That's going to be pretty hard. Williamson's run just ended, with Flash 762. Mm-hmm. The new writer is supposed to pick up this week, I think. But Williamson, his run, what I loved about it was he kind of dives into the legacy of the Flash a lot. And, you know, we see Eobard show up a few times, and it doesn't get washed up. Like, it's not repetitive. It's all kind of new. And Wally shows up, and they bring in the legacy of the Flash and how I'm losing my train of thought right now. But overall, he gets into a lot of the history of the Flash, and there was a good one with the Flash War. They were Barry and Wally. They kind of butt heads, and Hunter Zolomon makes an appearance. It was really cool seeing that.
Now, so Hunter Zolomon comes back into the picture, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
And it was brilliant because nobody saw it coming. There was no tease, nothing. He just shows up. It was really cool.
Here, I'm going to pull this up here because looks like back in May, you actually wrote a little article over the Culture Nerd.
That was actually my first one I published.
Excellent. Excellent. So what is it? I mean, I mean, you got me, you know, Hunter Zolomon's back, you know, comes back into it. But what's really like the overview of this entirety of this arc? Like, what are we seeing here? What is the main driving force of what happened, transpired? Say over the last, how long was his run? How many issues did he do?
100.
He did 100 issues. Okay.
Yes. And the article you have pulled up right now, it's just a rundown of, I think, were the pivotal stories in his run at the time. He wrote three more after that.
Now, the button, I actually read, I think, three. No, I guess it's two. Oh, no, it's four total because it's Batman and Flash. I know I read at least two of them. I may have read three of them of the Button storyline because that I remember them teasing the Thomas Wayne interaction with Bruce. So I was like, oh, I gotta read this. And I checked
that. That was a really cool story. And it kind of incorporated the Watchmen universe into it. And I think that was before Doomsday Clock started.
That was the tease for Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I read just the first two issues of Doomsday Clock. My buddy and I were going to start reading them and reviewing them. What has it been, 2 years since that started?
Yeah, it took him forever to finish it.
Yeah, and it was just, I gave up on it after a while. I was just like, you know what? It's too much work. I'm not a big reviewer. I try to be. I try to sit there and say, oh, I'm going to review stuff. I'm going to read it and review it. I'm going to watch it and review it. I'll watch and review things, no problem, but I'm just not good at reviewing things. So
it took me a while to get into the hang of doing a review, especially with comics. It's like, I had no idea. I could write a movie review, but with comics, there's like so many different aspects to it. To look, there's actually Hunter Zolomon right there between Wally and Barry.
Yeah.
He tries to become the true Flash and he takes over Barry's outfit and runs now, with it.
I do remember hearing not long ago that there was wasn't it that Wally West Flash, Kid Flash, Wally West Flash? Isn't it determined that he's faster than Barry in this, or was that maybe I'm thinking of something else? I know there was something that have to do with Barry and Wally.
Yeah, Wally's definitely faster, and they talk about that one in that because Wally he's connected to the Speed Force on a spiritual level.
Okay,
rather Barry understands it on a science in a sciencey way.
Okay.
And he's really good with it. And they actually talk a lot about it in the Flash War and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, I do remember them promoting Flash War pretty big, for sure. Now, are you still a fan of the CW universe of the shows? Do you watch them still yourself?
I mainly stick with the Flash. The other shows, they're not bad. They're just not my thing. I loved Arrow, but
so ended. Yeah, I know that was disappointing. It was one of the first Arrow was one of the first shows that I like binged within like 4 days. It was kind of like season two just started, and my friend was like, "You got to check it out." So I think it was on Netflix. I think the first season of Arrow was on Netflix. I was like, "All right, I'll give it a shot," and I was hooked and binged the entire season in 4 days. Yeah. My girlfriend at the time wanted to kill me, but. So I want to get back to Flash here because we saw some implementation of Rebirth aspects into the CW's Flash.
Yes.
Over the course of its, what is it, seven seasons now?
Yeah. Season six, I think it was.
Yeah. But we also saw, I mean, just throughout its entire run, I mean, we've seen little things. Like they did a little bit of the Wally Barry from the Rebirth number one. They did that with the Wally West that was on the show. But the thing that was most disappointing to me has been Godspeed.
Now, yeah, it was very underwhelming.
They, for some odd reason, cannot get Godspeed right on that damn show. I don't
know. They can't.
It's not a hard character to get. So,
yeah.
And I've said this for quite some time, and I know that they're really, they kind of are, the show is inspired by the comics. They don't really adapt the comics as much as they're like, oh, that's cool, we're going to make it our own.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that, because with the exception of Flashpoint, I think they completely screwed that up.
I completely agree.
I mean, come on, they did it in what, a 45-minute episode. Like, how do you do Flashpoint?
Yeah, there's a whole Wonder Woman and Aquaman arc they missed out on, and
you know, that's, they could have gotten past that stuff, but they could have utilized different characters.
I think it should have been a season-long arc and not like two episodes.
Agreed, 100%. It would have been amazing to. Again, I have a buddy. He's been on the show before. His name's John. He's been on my show a few times. We love talking DC while we're at work, and. We would sit sometimes and just talk about the Flash and try and speculate on what was to come and what could happen. And it, all of our ideas have always been better than what they put on screen.
Yeah.
And it's not like they couldn't have done the ideas we had, because it's not like it's very difficult to, it's not like we're saying, oh, they need more special effects, or no, it's just better writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And seasons 4 and 5 really, threw me away from the show. It was just very poor writing, and there was nothing serious about it that the previous seasons had achieved. It just felt funny and goofy, and it didn't feel very DC.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. The one thing that I would love to see, and I brought up the Godspeed thing for a reason, is a better utilization of him on the show. They can absolutely, even though they've screwed it up in what, 2 or 3 seasons now, they've used him as a villain. They could absolutely make him, bring him in and make him a menacing villain.
Mm-hmm. He really can be.
To the point, I mean, that's what he is. I mean, that's what he was in the comics. I mean, that was, he was to me, Barred Thong, who is the Flash. She's number one villain. Oh, there we go. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, I was just breaking up on me.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine.
But no, the Godspeed is literally the most, I think, threatening or evil villain that I've seen with the Flash.
Yeah, he can be. They kind of used him as like a, almost as an anti-hero towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff,
but that's what would have been amazing. And my idea, and this is never going to go anywhere, because supposedly they're bringing Godspeed into this next season. I've heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a big player in this one, this upcoming season.
But I've always stated this: utilize Godspeed to a point where both Reverse Flash and Flash have to work together.
Yeah.
Have to work together to defeat him. Make it where he is a threat to something, because we know that Eobard is always about himself, you know, always about, you know, number one, like he doesn't care about anything else.
Yeah.
He just wants to get faster and be the best, and make it where whatever Godspeed is doing is threatening his existence, his able of being. Make it where he utilizes his ability to travel through time, and he sees that the only way that he can beat him is with the help of Barry. So then it causes him and Barry to have to work together. The conflict in and of itself right there would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, no, I agree. That'd be really cool.
But then the big turn or reveal that you have, because they always do that in the Flash, I always have a big reveal at some point.
Yeah.
Make it where Eobard was using Barry to defeat Godspeed, because Godspeed was trying to stop Eobard from doing something completely evil, to where the Flash then has to turn and work with Godspeed right at the end of the season.
You're insanely close to what happens in the comics.
So
towards the end of the Williamson's Rebirth run, you're so close.
But that's kind of the idea, because like I said, they're always inspired by the comics.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. I know you said you weren't caught up or anything, so I was like, "That's really cool." That he was thinking like that, which would be really cool And I've always thought about, since I started reading The Rebirth, how they could implement Godspeed into the show before they did. And I was kind of thinking he could have played like a role like Julian did in season 3.
It should have been Julian.
Yeah, that would have been amazing because he turned out to be Alchemy anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been a cool twist to have him as like a Godspeed kind of thing. It would have been really cool.
Like, think of it this way. Think of it that Julian could have been Alchemy, whatever. He's Alchemy for that season. But remember the season where, what season was it? When his daughter comes back in time to save him.
4. It was season 4.
Everything, right? Or that was The Thinker.
Yeah, it was season 4. I hated that season so much.
But remember how everything got all screwed up? The whole timeline was screwed up.
Yeah.
So if you would have had Julian as Alchemy back in what, season 3 or 2 or whatever it was, you jump up to this new season 5, and it turns out that the person that she's working with at CCPD, who was a friend of Barry's, turns out to be Julian in the future, who, because of what happened to Barry, he tries to become a speedster himself, thus becoming Godspeed.
Yeah. That'd be really good. That'd be really cool.
Like, it's not hard. Like, CW, Berlanti, yeah, call me up. It's not hard.
I wasn't a big fan of when there's multiple versions of him running around and they couldn't catch him like in between the seasons. I didn't get that because I know he can split himself up, but they had different actors and playing him. It was weird.
I don't know.
It wasn't very good.
I was looking forward to Godspeed in the CW universe, but like I said, I haven't been watching it lately because it's just, I can't get into it anymore. It's just,
no. Yeah. The writing the quality is definitely gone down.
Yeah.
I think it picked back up with season 6, post crisis. I recommend getting back into it because there's a lot of stuff that I've read that they should be doing for season 7. I don't know if it's any of it's true. It's just what I've seen online.
I mean, I might dive in. I mean, I watched all the way up 3, and then I watched the last 2 episodes of Arrow, and then I watched the last, the next episode of Flash, and that was it. After that, I just was done with it. It just the whole Iris going into the mirror thing. I was like, what is going on here? Like, I don't.
Yeah, they dragged that out way too long. But it was that arc was supposed to come to an end before they had to shut down production because of COVID.
From what I understand, I read an article that Tom Cavanaugh, there was supposedly a big Reverse Flash reveal in the finale that was supposed to take place in the finale of this season.
There was supposed to be a huge tease for Reverse Flash at the end.
Yeah. That's another thing that bothers me. I mean, they utilize Reverse Flash a lot in the Flash, which I'm good with, but never the right way.
No. I love it when Eobard shows up, and I didn't like it towards the end of season 6 when he kind of showed up for like an episode and they just kind of just tossed him aside and beat him.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't feel like the Reverse Flash.
And they really shot themselves in the foot by what they did in Legends of Tomorrow, where they killed off that version of Eobard.
Yeah.
Where only Tom Cavanaugh was Eobard now. And don't get me wrong, both of them did an amazing job as the character, but I think that they should have stuck with one. And they kind of did. They stuck with one. They went with the Tom Cavanaugh version, but I think they should have stuck with the Matt Lesher. I think Matt Lesher is his name. They should have stuck with him because I think he was him being the true Eobard is the one that I think they should have went with, but that's my opinion there.
No, I agree with you. I love Kevin Hall as Eobard, but you can kind of have your Wells and your Eobard if you just had the two separate actors.
Yeah.
But they just went with Kevin Hall. But I mean, I'm not upset, but I would like to have two of them separate.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Now, let's kind of transition here. We talked a little about comics. We talked a little about the TV show. Let's talk about Ezra Miller's Flash.
Oh man, I can't wait. I think he's going to crush it. I think he's going to do such a good job.
So let's see here. I'm going to post this to kind of off topic here. South Cali, great guy. I've had him on the show before. He's showing this on here. He said, sort of not really news. Warner Brothers TV on Twitter has just sort of basically announced DC fandom for next year. I mean, you kind of got to figure that they were going to do a fandom again next year. Just, I don't know. I was a fan of what they did. I just kind of want them to do it better. But thank you, South Cali. We'll get into that. I'll actually probably make that. Well, I'll take a look and see that news. I might talk about that on my drive home tomorrow after work when I do my live streams for my car. Maybe. We'll see. But so Ezra Miller. So The Flash. Now, a lot of people give Ezra Miller a bunch of crap because of Justice League in 2017.
Yeah.
I think that's an unfair assessment of what he was brought on to do. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a huge Ezra Miller fan. I've seen parts of Perks of Being a Wallflower, but that was like 10 years ago and he was young. Mm-hmm. And obviously I've watched the Fantastic Beasts films, which the first one, he's got a very small role in, the second one a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm not, I can't sit there and say Ezra's going to do great because I've seen him in other things, because I can't. But I will not judge him off of what Justice League was. I can't.
No. I think everybody should probably forget about that one.
I mean, that would be nice. That definitely would be nice.
I was first introduced to Ezra Miller when he starred in the Stanford Prison Experiment movie.
I don't know if it's
a good movie. I'd highly recommend it. But I was first introduced to him watching that. And then I saw that he was going to play the Flash in as like a little cameo in, you know, Batman v Superman and all that stuff. And I was excited. And but with people, you know, kind of bashing for Justice League, it's not fair. So hopefully when the Snyder Cut comes out next year, we get a really good look at his character.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Snyder Cut's going to show us what was really intended for the character. And obviously, the Flash movie, which is now pushed what back to 2023 at this point, I think.
I think it's 2020. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want to see what he does in the Snyder Cut, because the little bit that we got of him in the trailer that released during DC fandom a couple months ago was a lot different
than
we got in the movie. He seemed a lot more confident, a lot more intelligent than what we got in the Justice League version. And I don't know. I can't wait to see it. But my worry is this, that if it turns out that nobody likes him and he doesn't do a good job, then we have an entire movie that we have to deal with him. And maybe or he's going to be amazing, and then this Flash movie isn't going to be great. And I'm not saying I don't trust the Muschietti's. I'm not going to sit there and say I don't trust Ezra Miller in making sure that it's done properly. But I that's my worry, because you take a look at what Snyder did. I'm a huge fan of Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman. I'm looking forward to the Snyder Cut. Wonder Woman, wow, that movie was good. It still just felt a little off. And I know that there was other stuff behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
Aquaman the same way. I really enjoyed it, but I enjoyed the Snyder films better. So that's kind of my worry. It's kind of like, am I going to just like the direction that Snyder was taking the Flash and everything? Or is it going to be the character I like? That's my worry.
I wasn't a big fan of the Aquaman movie. I felt like that Aquaman story had been played out in the animated movie, and the live action could have come up with the more original. But that's just my opinion. It doesn't really matter to anything.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I love the cinematography and the visual effects, though. Those pretty effects.
Yeah, I it was one of the most beautiful films that I've seen. It really is. It's a beautiful film. I really enjoy the movie a lot, actually. But
okay,
it, there's something about it that just, it's not the same. You mm-hmm. know, I enjoy it. I like it. But you know, between 2016 and 2020, the DC films have just been kind of like,
They've been like kind of like mixed. Like,
yeah,
like, the tones have been different. Like, you got, you know, like a really dark Batman v Superman, then you got Aquaman, which the tones are kind of different.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a message here. I was just looking at it real quick. No, yeah, I mean, I wish they would just, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they need to do what Marvel did.
No, DC needs their own thing to separate them.
Yeah, but, you know, I just want to see some consistency.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Put it that way, consistency and content and quality of content. Mm-hmm. And I think we're getting that now. I do. I think that's what's coming now. I think that they're weeding out those who really hurt the process for a number of years. And I think we're going to get that weeded out, those people weeded out, and it's really going to, everything's going to get turned around. Now, with the Flash movie, so we've heard that Michael Keaton's Batman is going to show up. We got Ben Affleck's Batman showing up.
Yeah.
They say it's going to be loosely based off of the Flashpoint storyline.
Yeah.
What do you think that means? I mean, being a Flash guy, what do you think justifiable to even say that? To say, because the Flashpoint is such a huge comic moment in DC.
Yes, it's huge.
I think that's one of the most beloved comic storylines in DC. I mean, you have Crisis, you have Flashpoint. Like, those are the two big ones that people talk mm-hmm. about. So what would be, in your mind, justifiable for them to say, yeah, it's inspired by Flashpoint?
I think you got to have the Barry go back in time and saving his mom. That has to be there. And I think loosely it could, like, the events or consequences of his actions can be different. Like, you don't have to have the Wonder Woman and Aquaman World War III. You don't have to have all that, because we don't really have a lot of Aquaman and Wonder Woman yet in the DC movies. So I think the changes can be the consequences of his actions. That's what I would think, at least.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what it's going to be. I think I believe that the beginning of the movie, we're going to see him and Cyborg trying to figure out the whole Speed Force thing. All right, like, so you have this ability. What does it mean? What can you do? What are your capabilities? And I think through their mangling, or not mangling, but messing around with things, I do think we're going to see the crossover from Crisis. I do. I if they don't show the Ezra Miller side of that.
Yeah. It's like, that's how he gets his name, the Flash.
Exactly. So you kind of have to have that show up in the movie now, especially the moment where he's like, he says, "I told Victor it was possible," or something like that. He says in the
crossover.
Like, it would be cool to see that conversation they have. You know, Victor saying, "That's not possible." And he's like, "No, it is. I'm telling you, I think this could work." And then it ends up happening.
That'd be pretty cool if that was like a small thing in the Snyder Cut.
There you go.
I don't know. We can only hope.
Yeah. But I think we're going to see him in that moment. He's going through time and the Speed Force. He ends up going back. I think we're going to see a little bit of the manipulation, and it's going to be a race to get back to the normal timeline. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to be. And during that race to get back is when he comes in contact with Michael Keaton's Batman. I'm sure, you know, there's rumor that there's going to be other cameos. I think he's going to hit all those different cameos as he runs through time and space to get back to his normal timeline. But by the time he gets back there, everything's going to be all mangled and changed from that point forward. So I think for me, for them to say that it's inspired by Flashpoint, you have to have two things that happen in this movie. for me to accept and say, okay, you understood the impact of Flashpoint. I'll say three things. One is his mother that has to play a huge role in the movie. Him making, even if they just make that the reason for him trying to figure out a way to go back in time again, you know, or for the first time or whatever it is. That has to be, because it has to be for a selfish reason that he goes back.
Yeah.
Because he has to learn that in his development that, you know, being selfish is not always the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So that has to be a big factor in it. Two would be the manipulation of the current timeline after the fact on how things have changed. That has to happen. What we once knew as reality has to be completely, or not completely, but altered in some way. Whether that means there's a different Batman instead of Ben Affleck's Batman or whatever, there has to be some consequence and some manipulation in the timeline to move forward.
Yeah.
And the third thing is the interaction for Batman and his father.
Yes, that's got to be in there.
Those three things have to be in there, and they have to be kind of the big part of that movie. Anything that happens between those moments or anything, that's fine. They can do whatever they want. You know, Reverse Flash is even rumored to not even be a big part of that movie, and that's fine, even though I think he needs to be. But he doesn't have to, in the sense if they're utilizing this movie and saying that time or even Barry himself is his own enemy in this movie.
Or maybe his consequences, or like another speedster in another universe senses what he's done and decides to become the Reverse Flash. Maybe that's how we get him.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something if Grant Gustin became the Reverse Flash?
That'd be pretty cool.
I don't think that's going to happen. That'd be interesting.
I doubt it, but I agree with you though, with your 3 points on what has to make the Flashpoint. But I would have to say that Reverse Flash has to play some part in it, because how the comic and the animated movie ended was with, you know, Barry and Eobard having that, you know, that dialogue between each other, and Eobard saying that this is his fault, his consequences, and what he's done. I think we kind of have to have something like that in the movie, whether it's from Reverse Flash or Thomas Wayne or somebody. We got to have something like that so Barry can learn to leave the timeline alone.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. It's going to be interesting. It's really going to be interesting how that movie plays out. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to change the way we look at, I hope it's going to change the way we look at DC films completely moving forward. I like how, you know, all the speculation and thoughts are that they're going to connect all of these movies, past, present, and future, together in a one big multiverse. So they're all relevant in some form or fashion. I love that idea. So I can't wait to see what they do. I think it's going to be amazing.
But speaking of Reverse Flash, though, I personally, after watching the Boys seasons 1 and 2, I think Anthony Starr would be a perfect Reverse Flash.
Everybody talks about that. And don't get me wrong. If Anthony Starr never played Homelander, 100%, I'm on board with it. But the fact that he's played Homelander at this point, I just, not saying that people can't play two different superheroes or two villains within comic book films or what have you, but to me, all I see is Homelander now with him.
No, like, I can agree with that.
Did you see the finale yet of The Boys season 2?
I did.
All right. Tell me, if you saw Reverse Flash pop up on screen, you wouldn't get that last image of him on top of the building stuck in your head. Like, okay.
That'd be kind of hard not to think about. Exactly. To take the Flashpoint movie seriously.
Just start laughing in the middle of the theater, you know.
Michael C. Hall, I know his name has come up a lot with fan castings. I think he can be good.
I don't mind
that, like that sociopathic serial killer kind of thing.
And that's kind of what people are doing. They're going, I think, the route that they know. And the one thing I've loved about DC is they go after these actors that, one, you don't either, you've never even heard of, or two, that you would never in a million years think, yeah, that's Aquaman, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, like, who would have thought that Jason Momoa would have been cast as Aquaman? You know, we probably would have been, if back then we probably were thinking, oh, they're going to get some blonde hair, blue eye, skinny looking, swimmer looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, and they end up going with Jason Momoa. It is what it is. Who would have thought Zachary Levi for Shazam? Not me.
I never would have thought about it.
Still to this day, I don't care what anybody says, the perfect casting for Shazam would have been Zac Efron, 100%. He would have been the best casting for Shazam.
Okay. I never thought about Zac Efron, but okay. I can see it. He's good.
He's able to have the build. He had the build at the time. He doesn't now, but he has the build, you know, so they wouldn't have had to pad his suit like they did with Zachary Levi. Yeah. Their casting is always so it works. I have no problem with any casting that they've made in DC since 2013. Not a single thing do I have an issue with, but you know, people want to sit there and say Michael C. Hall. Well, why? Well, look at what he did on Dexter. Okay, I get that, but he's done that role already. So why would he want to do it again?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he won't. Maybe they will get somebody else. You know, the Michael Fassbender thing I thought was interesting because he was Magneto. He was a villain, but he was not really a villain in X-Men.
I haven't seen any of those X-Men, so I can't really say.
So he would play. I think he would do well. I like that idea of Michael Fassbender.
I love Michael Fassbender. He's a phenomenal actor. I just haven't seen any of the X-Men.
Yeah. But I to this day, I mean, I've been saying it since 2016, when they announced the Flash movie, I said Matthew McConaughey has to be the Flash.
I've seen some pretty cool fan art of him, and it's pretty cool. I can't deny it. He would be a pretty cool reverse Flash. I would probably go with Hunter Zolomon for him.
I could see that. I just don't think they're going to get that far into the Flash lore. I mean, we still got 3 years until that movie comes out. Yeah. And how fast could they get a sequel out? When will they ever? Because if they're going to bring in Hunter Zolomon, you have to have Wally West. In my opinion, to do the Hunter Zolomon story right, you have to have Wally West. I mean, that was essentially his reverse Flash trying to make him better. So you have to have that.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it's just, if we ever saw that, Matthew McConaughey is going to be in his 90s. So we won't get to that point.
Because you have to go through so many stories with Wally first before Zolomon even shows up.
And honestly, I mean, who knows what DC's thinking? Why not spin off a Wally West Flash show for HBO Max off of Ezra Miller's Flash movie? You can get a nice established character.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
And I mean, even if it's something like at the end of the Flash movie, you know, you find like a knock on the door and it's Iris's brother and that's it. And then, you know, or nephew or whatever they want, whatever way they want to go with it. You know, there's multiple iterations of it now. Who knows? You know, the redhead kid, you can have, you know, the African-American, wherever way they want to go, they could go. But
I can't wait to see, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Kersey Clemons as Kersey Iris. Clemons,
yeah.
I can't wait to see her her performance as Iris in the Snyder Cut.
That is probably the second most thing I'm excited for the Snyder Cut, is seeing her as Iris West. I think that she's going to be phenomenal in that role. My fear is, because there's still no casting news on her being in The Flash, so my fear is we get her in Snyder Cut. She's amazing, beautiful, talented. We all want to see more of her, and then she's gone forever.
Yeah.
That would suck. That would suck.
But I can't wait to see what she does with the character and see what she can bring to the table. Hopefully it's different from the CW Iris. I don't want to see two of the same characters on the movie and TV.
I agree. I don't want a we are Team Flash or we are the Flash or whatever the heck she says. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
We can't have that.
The thing about Iris is she is his anchor to reality.
His lightning rod.
Yes. You know, like, that is what keeps him grounded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the show completely missed that. You know, it's a shame mm-hmm. because I really like, I can't remember her.
Candace Patton.
I think. Candace Patton. Yeah. I really like her as an actress. I think she's a damn good actress.
She's amazing.
But they're not giving her the right material to work with. And it's really, really disappointing because they just, that's my issue with what they've done with CW is every show is the same. You know, like, it was cool when Arrow then had like a team of people. I was like, okay, that's awesome. Cool. All right. That makes sense because Arrow himself is a normal human being. He cannot protect the entire city himself. No. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And you look at the Flash and then they did the same thing by bringing in all these other people to make Team Flash. And I'm like, does the Flash really need that?
No.
He doesn't.
I think at the most it could have been him, Wally, and Iris as a little team.
That would have been nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love Caitlin. I love Cisco, but it's like, they don't really need to be there.
But I wouldn't have minded having Caitlin and Cisco being his home base team. They just sit at Star Labs. That's, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, we'll talk to you on a radio. That would have been fine. But then they gave Cisco powers and they took his powers away. And then they did this. Yeah. They gave Caitlin powers and took them away. And it's just enough.
I wasn't a big fan of how they kept calling Caitlin Killer Frost when she's killed nobody. I was like, you can't call her Killer Frost if she's not killing any people.
If let's talk about this real quick on the CW show, how they get rid of the second coolest, no pun intended, villain for the Flash, and Leonard Snart. He was amazing in the show. He was perfectly portrayed. I loved what they did with the character. And then they go in, not even on the Flash, on Legends of Tomorrow, they kill him off.
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled about that one. I don't know if there was some behind the scenes thing with Miller or anything, but seeing Leonard Snart go was definitely hurt the show because he was pretty cool and they hadn't established a Rogues yet. It was just like three people at that time.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think they utilized him. It was him and what's the heck's his name? Rory.
Yeah, Heatwave.
And yeah, Heatwave and Gold Glider, is that her name? Can't remember.
Gold Glider, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
There was never really a Rogues.
Like the other Rogues showed up, like Weather Wizard, Mirror Master, and Top. They all showed up. And Trickster.
Again, all of which have been underutilized.
Yeah, they were never together. They were never, the Rogues.
Yeah.
But they still call themselves the Rogues, but it is what it is.
I it's to me, it's just disappointing. They've had so much potential with that show,
mm-hmm.
and they've just not utilized anything that they've had.
I know for season 6, they got a new writing staff, and I was very impressed with what I saw during season 6. The writing was new, the storytelling was kind of fresh, but I think having Crisis right in the middle of that kind of hurt it because mm-hmm. they kind of had to rush the Bloodwork storyline. And which season 6 was heavily inspired by the Rebirth, which was really cool. But Crisis kind of hurt it because it was right in the middle of it. So they kind of had to split it up.
What were your feelings on Crisis, how they handled it?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How was your feelings on Crisis and how they handled it?
I'm 50-50 on it. I don't think, spoiler, I guess, Arrow killing him off in the first episode, I think that hurt. I understand they had to develop him as, you know, the Spectre, but I don't think doing it in the first episode was a smart move. And they teased, the Flash, that iconic scene with him running and kind of just disappearing with Grant. And then just to have John Wesley Shipp's Flash do it, I wasn't a big fan of that. I thought it was kind of cool, but it would have meant more to Grant Gustin's character if they had him die and then come back later at the end of it.
Yeah, they really would they make it four episodes? Was it five?
I think it was six because it carried over to all the CW shows.
It should have been at least 10 episodes. At least
it could have. It could have been.
It should have been. To me, I really feel that they should have. And I've been saying this for a while. What CW needs to do is instead of doing these little crossovers in the middle of a season.
Mm-hmm.
So Flash gets greenlit for 23 episodes. You know, Arrow was greenlit for 23 episodes. Whatever. Okay. Take one or two episodes off of there. So make them 21 episodes instead.
Okay.
Take those two extra episodes that you would have had at the end of each show. And let's say the start off the seasons for all the shows with a crossover. So in October, when they normally would start in October, instead of having the Flash premiere and this premiere and this premiere, started off with the Justice of America or whatever they would call it, you know, whatever they're going to call the team.
I don't think they can use Justice League.
Yeah, I know. I said Justice of America or something. Like, who knows what they would use. But what they could do is do that and create all the turmoil of what's going to come in their seasons from that crossover.
Yeah, no, that would actually be really smart.
Or do it on the reverse. Do it at the end of the season. Or do it both. You know? Yeah. And then what they could do in a big crisis event like this, what they could have done was started off all the seasons together. They went off on their own, but that the beginning of that season would have been like, the crisis is coming. We need to work together. What can we do? Oh, we're going to go do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Awesome. Do 10 episodes per show or 8 episodes per show. And then the crisis event happens in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And then you have the rest of their seasons to go. And then you close it out at the end. To me, that would have been a great way to do crisis because you could have just done so much more with it, focused on each individual character and had an actual reason to care about these characters. Mm-hmm. And not saying I didn't care about Oliver or Barry.
Yeah.
Because those shows have been going on, but the side characters that, you know, were there that, like, come on, Brandon Routh Superman should have had more than like 5 minutes of screen time in that.
No, I agree. I think having John Cryer's Lex Luthor kind of making him disappear. I don't know if he died or anything in that part, but I think his Superman should have been there just to team up with Supergirl on that Earth that they went to. That would have been really cool to see. But
yeah,
CW, they didn't want to give us everything.
Don't get me into Supergirl and all that stuff. I can't.
I haven't watched. I haven't watched Supergirl since season one.
Don't. You'll be highly disappointed.
Nothing against the show, which is Supergirl's not one of my favorites. I never took the time to watch it.
You know, it had its potential. It really did. But the writing team or the showrunners, they went down one path that I just did not want to follow. I just didn't.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. I think having a crisis at the end of the seasons would have been a good idea. But I think, you know, crisis is a huge event. You know, it changed DC Comics. I think they should have saved crisis for when all the shows were wrapping up on their final seasons. Cause that way you could kill off some characters and give them an ending.
Yeah.
And stuff. So that would have been my idea. But then when they did the Two Earths or Elseworld story, and they kind of tease crisis, so I was like, all right, we're not getting that ending.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because you don't know when a series is going to end. You know, like Supergirl's ending this coming season. Flash is probably going to get another season minimum after this next one. Mm-hmm. Legends of Tomorrow is somehow still on the air. I don't know how that's on the air. Black Lightning, which is a good show. I watched the entire first season. I just kind of...
Black Lightning is really good.
I fell out of all the DC or the CW shows pretty much at the same time. So Black Lightning, I just haven't watched it since season one. Batwoman, I did not hate season one. I actually really enjoyed season one. But now with Ruby Rose leaving and bringing in a new person, it's kind of like, do I want to get invested again? It's basically like starting the show over. Do I want to do that? You know, it's-
I don't know how CW is going to pull that off, but there was the picture of the new actress in the suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little disappointed they're going with Ruby Rose's suit. Because I know there's a Batwoman Beyond. I don't know anything about it, but I know she has a silver suit. Maybe they could use that.
They are utilized. So from what I've gathered and what I've heard, her suit that she was pictured in was the Ruby Rose suit.
Mm-hmm.
That is her transitioning. That is her first becoming Batwoman.
Okay. She's going to
have her own suit by probably the middle or end of this season, I'm sure.
Okay, I was about to say, because you can't give her the same suit.
Well, think about it this way. Every CW show has given their hero a new suit every single season,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of Supergirl. I think that's the only one that didn't get a new suit season to season. Mm-hmm. She got one new suit, and that was last year. But every other show has gotten a new suit every season, so mm-hmm. it makes sense. It's in the budget, so she'll get a new suit.
Yeah. I like that with the Flash, they're going more with like the onesie type of thing. It's not like a leather jacket now.
I agree. Honestly, my favorite Flash suit was the one without the chin thing on it. The one that
really?
Yeah, that was my favorite. That's been the best one. If they would have just given them gold boots, that would have.
I think we're getting the gold boots in season 7.
About damn time. Took 7 years. Right, got right. There.
Yeah, it took them forever. I don't know why they didn't do it. It's just gold boots.
And but
I think the showrunner said there's going to be a reason he gets it.
They introduced the ring. He gets it. And I think he's used it maybe 3 times.
Yeah. I don't get it. The Flash ring, it's the coolest thing. But they never talk about it.
Yeah. It's yeah. Oh, well, but we're just about on an hour here. I really enjoyed having you on.
No, it's been a blast. Hopefully I can come on again.
Oh, 100%. Here's the thing. My show is this. My show is called Bridging the Geekdoms for a reason. It's about bridging all geekdoms together. It's about having anybody who wants to be on and just discuss things on a podcast, on a show. That's the point of this show. I also like to talk to people who do different things. So you write about geek stuff for The Culture Nerd. So I have you on and you're doing 2 nerdy things, writing and you love pop culture. So that's kind of what the name of my show is all about. You know,
yeah.
It's about bringing people together to talk and discuss all nerdy things. And I always have an open invitation. If there's anybody ever that's out there that wants to say, hey, I want to talk about Batman or I want to talk about this. Hit me up, and I have no problem hosting a show where we just sit down like we did today and just talked about The Flash.
Yeah, no, it was a blast. I'm glad I got to be on here.
Yeah.
I'm actually about to give you a follow on Twitter to tune in next time.
Oh, nice.
There we go.
Perfect, yeah. But I'll definitely have you on again. I don't know if you've – again, I don't know if you've seen any of my shows or anything like that. I do talk about – most like news things from time to time. I talk a lot about Star Wars on my Shooting the Sith show. So like, yeah, I got a bunch of stuff that we talk about. Anything Marvel, DC, video games, whatever it is. I'm always up for talking about it.
All right, cool. I know I watched the one episode that I was supposed to be on here, but had the technical difficulties.
That's all right. That's all right. What's up, Nicotina? We're actually heading out now, but thanks for jumping on now.
Before we log off, I want to show this thing off. It was pretty cool. I found it at my comic store. It's first print. It's a graded comic from the Maximum Carnage story.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to show it without my computer light.
I see it. Yeah, it's tough. But yeah,
it was pretty cool. I was super excited to find that one. I don't have any Flash graded comics, unfortunately.
Not it's yet.
Pretty hard to find.
Not yet. Yeah, as Nicotina says, smash that like button, hit that subscribe button as well. You know, definitely if you want to see more of what I'm doing here, I'm going to have Mike on. Michael, I mean, you guys over at The Culture Nerd are always welcome on my show, everybody over there. So if you talk to anybody, just say, hey, Robert over Bridge and Geekdoms will have you. But I love talking about anything, really. I'm still looking for a Harry Potter guy. I don't know if you know anybody, but.
Oh, I love Harry Potter.
I've been wondering because I've never read the books,
Okay.
What I'm looking for is somebody who has read the books, who can sit down okay. with me, and we can discuss the books versus the movies and move cool. forward and go through an entire series like that. Because I've watched the movies countless times. I love the films. I understand the lore, but I want to just discuss the differences between the movies and the books and move forward. I think that would be a cool little series.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That would be really cool to do. Because I actually have the books. I could read through them and then
yeah,
because it doesn't take me long. I love reading. Reading's amazing.
Yeah, I enjoy reading from time to time. I have this thing though. Once I see the movie, it's hard for me to then read the book.
Yeah.
But I'll read a book before I see the movie. So if I read the book, I'll read it before the movie. But after I see the movie, it's hard for me to read the book based on it. I got a couple years ago for Christmas, I got both of my boys the first Harry Potter book, and I got it myself. And I was like, all right, we're going to read it together. We'll read it together and we'll discuss it. Well, neither of my boys were into it at all. So I started reading it. And because they weren't into it, I just stopped reading it. So
no, I understand. I watched all 8 seasons of Game of Thrones before I bought the books and stuff, just so I can see what is different. And different.
Yeah, there's a lot different there. I haven't read them. I know a couple people who have, and there's just complete story arcs just taken out and not even put in there. That's another show I'd love to sit down and talk about. Actually, what I would love to do is just do a rewatch of that show.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the hindsight of what comes and discuss it on a podcast at some point,
I'd love to be on here to discuss it. It would be pretty fun to do.
But I didn't hate the ending. I will just put it that way. I didn't hate the ending. But
the final season for Game of Thrones, it was 6 episodes. I think they were backwards. They should have started with the things in King's Landing. And then the final 3 be the Night's Watch, or not the Night's Watch, the White Walkers. Yeah, that.
No, you're not wrong. They hyped up the battle with the White Walkers and the Night King for 8 seasons.
Yes, and I was insanely disappointed that we didn't get the 1v1 with Jon Snow and Night King. I don't know why we didn't get that or why they didn't think it would be a good idea, but fans, we deserve that one, and they didn't give it to us.
Yeah, they didn't give us enough there. But thanks for being on, man.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
I'm gonna hide you away for a second, and I'm gonna say goodbye to everybody. So
all right, cool. I'm gonna say goodbye before I dip.
All right,
bye.
There it is, guys. That is the show this week. Thanks for tuning in. For more on Bridging the Geekdoms, make sure you go to my YouTube. If you're not there already, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Hop over to spoilerverse.com. Spoilerverse.com is where you're going to find all things Bridging the Geekdoms, as well as articles I write, as well as articles other people write. That is a network of shows. You got some great shows like Shooting the Sith, my other podcast, Polygon Warriors, Narrative Gunslingers, Misery Point Radio, and our flagship show, Spoiler Country. Check them all out. They're great, great shows. So go to spoilerverse.com for all of that. With all that said, I've had a lot of fun today. So I hope you guys did as well. I guess I'll talk to you all later. See ya.